4, the Bible says, and it came to pass, as they were much perplexed. As they were much perplexed. Now watch this. Here they come. They're on their way to the tomb. The Bible says in verse number 1, they came early with spices to prepare the body and anoint the body with. And as they come to the tomb, they found it not as they expected. Is that not a good picture of life? You ever get up in the morning and you set off on your journey of what your day is going to hold? Maybe you have school for our kids, or maybe you have work as an adult, or maybe you're retired and get to go fishing. Amen. I'm looking forward to that part of my life. I don't think it'll ever get here, but I hope there's fishing in heaven. Amen. And you get on your way of life, and things that you find are not what you expected. That's what's happening in verse number 1. They're headed to the tomb, and when they arrive there, things are not as they expected them to be, and it caused them to be what verse 4 says, perplexed. Perplexed. Do you know what the answer for them being perplexed was? It's verse 6. He says, remember how he spake. Number one this morning, I believe it's important that we remember the resurrection when we're perplexed. You're going to have times in your life where you approach your day, you approach your life, you approach your future, and you're going to find it different than what you expected it to be. You've got your plan, you've got your spices, you know exactly what you're going to do when you get to the tomb, proverbially, of whatever it is, and you're going to arrive there and find it not what you expected it to be. And you're going to start scratching your head. That's why I have a bald spot right here. I scratch it so often. I get perplexed a lot. Have you ever had a time in your life or an instance in your life where things were not as you expected them to be and it caused you to be perplexed? The word perplexed, let me give you the definition. I love it when I looked it up. It means this: to be at a loss with oneself. Have you ever been at a loss with yourself? Have you ever been at a loss with others? We can all amen on that one, right? I'll never forget, I was telling somebody the other day about when I was a youth pastor and we took our kids to the Jackson Zoo and we're doing a head count and I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, counting all these kids, and I was missing one kid. Couldn't find him. That'll make you perplexed. Parents kind of expect you to bring all of them home. Some of them may not want it, but they expect it. And I remember I looked up and I'm trying to find this kid, and I asked Leslie, where is so-and-so? No joke. This kid is over here. There's a brass handrail in front of the tiger cage or something over there. He has his head bent down, his tongue stuck out, and he is running his tongue along the handrail on the tiger cage. I just watched the kid. I said, why are you doing that? I don't know. But you're probably going to die before we get home. I don't know what you just ingested. The kid's doing fine. He's alive and well today. But I'm looking at this kid. Now, I didn't expect that, all right? I expect them to hit each other, maybe steal something, set an animal loose, but I didn't expect them to lick the handrail at the zoo. I'm sitting there looking at this kid, and I'm thinking, why? He goes, I don't know. It became his thing. He would lick doorknobs. You know, look, guys, if you're going to find a shtick, you know, something to do, don't lick stuff, okay? You're going to die. Pick your nose or something, but don't do something that's going to get you sick like that. And I just looked at this kid, and I was like, I'm perplexed. I got nothing. I got nothing. Now, hear me out. That's what the word perplexed means. When you're at a loss with one's self, I promise you, before the week is out, you're going to get perplexed. You're going to approach your life, and it's not going to be what you thought it should be and what you had planned on it being, and you're going to be perplexed, and it's at that time you need to remember the resurrection. Why? Because that's exactly what God prescribed for them. Verse 6, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake. Boy, the church at Corinth was going through it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, here's what Paul says. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Look, you're going to get perplexed with life. Life is going to be not what you expected it to be and not going to be able to do what you wanted to do, and you're going to get perplexed. But Paul says you don't have to be in despair. Why? For the very same reason he told them in verse 6, remember how he spake unto you. Do you know what he's saying? That even though you're perplexed, God is not. Remember, look, you may be perplexed. I'm going to get that word mixed up so many times today, but you get what I'm saying, right? You're going to get confused and perplexed at what's going on in your life. It's not going to be what you expected it to be. And here's what God wants you to know. Remember what He said. Remember how He spake. What did He say? He is not here, but is risen. God already had this thing planned out. The resurrection is simply this, a reminder that God knows what He's doing. That even though you get to an empty tomb and you're sitting there with an armload of spices and you had your plan and what you expected and you're going to do what you wanted, and when you approach the empty tomb and it's not what you thought, don't worry, God knew it already. The resurrection of Christ just proves to us that God knows what He's doing and His plan still works. Here's what's amazing today. He said, remember what He said. You and I have the benefit of the Word of God. That when we are perplexed, we just remember what He spake. Here's the thing, we don't have to remember it. I told Leslie yesterday, I said, I'm sure all of our neighbors that are around us, Miss Daisy's here, she's one of our neighbors, they probably think we're the weirdest people in the world. Because, don't amen that sound, that's not where you amen, all right? You work on that. I'll leave the house, take Miley to school, realize I left my briefcase, go back, get my briefcase, and get back to the office and realize I forgot to something else at the house, back and forth, back and forth. I'm thankful that I don't have to remember all of the Word of God. He has given me a copy of the Word of God. And when I get to a place where I am perplexed with my life, number one, just remember what? Remember what He said. Remember how He spake. We were joking last night, Brother Zach and I were talking about Abraham and Isaac and thinking about the conversation that Abraham and Isaac had on their way home from Mount Moriah. You ever thought about that? I mean, you know, he almost killed his son, didn't tell him what was going on. Can you imagine when God told Abraham, would you take your only son up on Mount Moriah and I want you to kill him? I imagine Abraham was perplexed. Wait a minute, the plan is that this child would be the child of promise. Isn't that the plan? Is it he going to be where all of the heirs come from? Is the sand of the sea and the stars of the heaven? Is that where he's going to come from? And wait a minute, you're wanting me to kill him? God, I'm at a loss. Can you imagine? I'm not joking. If God told you to sacrifice your child, you'd be at a loss. You're lost. I got nothing. God, I don't understand. There are going to be perplexing times in life, but the resurrection reminds us God knows what He's doing. But Zach and I were joking last night about Isaac. Can you imagine that conversation on the way home? I kind of feel it went something like this. Abraham looks over to Isaac. We don't have to tell your mom about this. You know, what happens in Moriah stays in Moriah. Abraham looks over to Isaac and says, you know I love you. And Isaac's looking at him. You almost killed me. You know, I bet Abraham was perplexed. I bet Isaac was perplexed. But I got to tell you who was not perplexed. God. He knew what he was doing. He knew what the plan was. So this morning, number one, we have to hurry. Remember the resurrection when you're perplexed. God had it all worked out. There was no need for them to worry. There was no need for them to be at a loss. Sometimes you're going to be the children of Israel. You're going to come to the Red Sea and you're like, wait a minute, God, you led us here. You told us to come to this specific marker, this specific GPS location. That's what he said, Baal Pehiroth. That was the name of the place where God told them to go. And when they get there, lo and behold, there's a Red Sea there. There's an army behind us. We are surrounded. And they were perplexed. But be careful when you get perplexed. That's the time, if you're not careful, you turn your back on God. What do they say? Let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. God has led us to a dead end. But no, God says, I know what I'm about to do. Stand still and see. What did he say? Just trust me. God knows what he's doing. Number one, remember the resurrection when you're perplexed. But watch this. There was something else they were feeling in verse 5. The Bible says, and as they were what? Afraid. Afraid. And bowed down their faces to the earth. Number one this morning, remember the resurrection. God knows what he's doing when you're perplexed. Number two, remember the resurrection. God knows what he's doing. Verse 5, when you fear. When you fear. You know, it's a natural progression that when you are perplexed long enough, then you begin to fear. That's a natural progression. All right? First, you're looking at something and you're like, you know what? I'm not sure how that's going to work out. And the longer time goes, being perplexed becomes fear. And now you begin to worry. Now, can I tell you right off the bat, I don't want you to feel bad because you're a human, but being fearful is a natural human response. But it's not a spiritual response. Now, hear me out. If you don't trust what he said, Your only other alternative is fear. That's it. You see, there is fear over here and there is faith over here. Faith is trusting that God understands, that God knows, and God has a plan. That's what faith is. You don't have to have it figured out to have faith. Aren't you glad? Abraham didn't have to have it figured out to know that he could trust God when he put Isaac up on the altar. Watch, Moses didn't have to know what God was going to do just to trust him. You don't have to have it figured out. And so some of us in here this morning who are not the smartest person in the room, that's exciting, isn't it? You don't have to have it figured out to have faith. But you know what fear is? It's when you choose not to trust that God knows what he's doing and you decide you're going to carry that burden on yourself. That's what fear is. The weight of fear is thinking that, oh, I've got to figure this out. I've got to take matters into my own hands. Listen to what he said in Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Did you notice one word repeated over and over and over in there? I. God says, fear thou not. You're thinking, well, that's easier said than done. How do I not fear? Here it comes. I am with thee. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You see, here's what faith is. Faith is believing it's all up to God. That's what faith says. God, it's up to you. There's not a week that goes by I don't visit with someone who is not been diagnosed with something, having treatments for something, or the doctors have told that there is no hope for them in their treatments. And yes, I'm thankful for doctors, and I'm thankful for the knowledge that God has given us as mankind. But I'm even more thankful that I know that ultimately it's up to God. It's always up to God. No matter what a doctor says, no matter what a test says, it's always up to God. Faith allows you to trust that it's up to God. Do you know what fear says? Fear is thinking it's up to you. That's what fear is. You know, all of a sudden you have a hospital bill that you can't pay, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and you look in your bank account and there's $4.75. The only reason that's there is to keep the account open. And you're looking at what you have, and you're looking at what you're being required to have, and you're realizing it's not there, and you begin to worry, and you begin to doubt, and you begin to struggle with life, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, anxiety builds up, and you have no hope. What has happened? You have taken on your heart and your shoulder something that God is ready to bear, because he said, cast all your cares upon him. All of them. But at some point, we've got to get to the place where we decide, you know what, rather than try to carry that myself in fear, I'm just going to believe and trust God in faith. That's what he told them to do. They're afraid in verse number 5, and he says, remember, oh, we are so forgetful. We're so frail and we're so fragile that we forget that God is still God, and God is still sovereign. God has not lost any of his sovereignty. Thanks be to God, no one has voted him out of office. We're so worried about the upcoming election and the pivotal place we are in this country. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that whatever happens in November doesn't change the fact that God is still God. He's still on the throne. He is still sovereign. I don't have to fear what's going to happen. All I need to do is have faith, believing that he does. And if I trust him, he's going to make sure everything is going to be all right. You know, whether it be here or in heaven, everything's going to be all right. By the way, heaven gets sweeter every day, doesn't it? The older we get, the longer our kids have to live in this world. Could I just encourage you, don't fall for the devil's lies of thinking you have to carry it yourself. Don't fall for that. One of our teenagers told me this a couple years ago. I'm a little slow on my slang, okay? And they told me, they said, I have FOMO. And I'm thinking, all right, is there a treatment for it, you know? Antibiotic, what is that? They said, I have FOMO. I said, what is FOMO? Fear of missing out. Is that right? Is that right, guys? Cool kids, tell me, yeah. Amen. Fear of missing out. Oftentimes what the devil does to us is he shows us all of the potentials. And boy, we begin to fear of missing out. Begin to fear, well, what if I miss out on this and what if I miss out on that? Do you know if you have faith, you don't have to fear missing out on anything? Because it's your Father. What did he say? Pray that he gives us our daily bread. I told somebody the other day, one day, when I grow as a Christian, I want to preach a sermon entitled Living Without the Loaf. Let me tell you why. I want the whole loaf. I don't want my daily bread. I want the whole loaf. God, I want you to give me enough for today, tomorrow, and the next few weeks. I don't want to have to trust you tomorrow. I want to just give me enough today. I can go do my own thing. No, he says, I want you to trust me for your daily bread. I promise you, you won't miss out if you just trust me. And yet, here we go, trying to bear our own burdens, and that's when we truly begin to miss out on the blessings of God. Number one, remember the resurrection when you're perplexed and things are not the way you thought they would go. Number two, remember the resurrection in verse 5 when you're fearful, because verse 6 is a prescription for all of us. Remember how he spake unto you. Do you know why Paul was the only one who wasn't panicking when the hurricane was blowing the ship around? Do you know why Paul wasn't panicking? Very simple. Paul says this, I believe God. I believe God. You know, it's easy to say that when life is good. It's easy to say that when you have the bank account is full. It's easy. I heard a preacher the other day, he preached a great message. He says, you know, they never turned to Christ at the wedding in Cana until they water pots were empty. Could it be that God is going to empty out all of your water pots to get you to the place where you realize you have to trust him? Sometimes this is one of those things we keep behind glass with one of those labels on it that says break in case of emergency. We've got them up and down the hallways. I've been dying to use a defibrillator. I really have. Every time I pass by there, I'm thinking, you know, get some practice. I told Brother Mark, you know, the doctor says no strenuous work. I'm thinking, well, if he's out there on security detail and chases somebody down the hall and falls out, maybe I can practice with that thing. You know, only use in case of emergency. We have the fire hoses in the hallway. Use only in case of emergency. Sometimes that's what the Word of God is. It sits behind glass, and we only break it out in times of emergency. I think we'd have less emergencies if we kept it out a little more often. You wouldn't have to break the glass for it. You say, you know what I'm going to do? What I fear in verse 5, I'm going to do what he said in verse 6. I'm going to remember how he spake unto you. Now, folks, can I tell you, if you just remember the resurrection of Christ is proof, watch, that God has the answer when we're perplexed, and the resurrection shows us that God has a solution when we're fearful if we're just willing to remember what he said. Because everything he said came to pass, didn't it? Finally, I want you to see this before we close. The Bible says, you get over to verse number 11, they go back and they tell everybody that's there. He's risen, he's alive, the tomb is empty, he's not there. And watch what verse 11 says. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Number one, watch this. Remember the resurrection when you're perplexed. God had it figured out. God had it all figured out. Remember the resurrection when you're fearful. God knew exactly what he was doing, and they just needed to trust him. But boy, the hardest one may be verse number 11. Remember the resurrection when no one else believes. When no one else does. Verse 11, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Do you know what would have been easy for them to do? To start doubting what they knew because everybody else was doubting. Have you ever done that? You ever done that? The other day I was watching an LSU baseball game, and I looked at the guy's shirt, and I said, his shirt is not purple. His shirt is blue. And so I called my wife in, and I says, isn't his shirt blue? And she says, yeah, I think it is. And when she said, I think it is, I began to doubt what I knew already. The power of persuasion, right? Well, maybe it is my eyes. Maybe I am over 40, and that is not blue. It's actually purple. And the guy put his ball cap on, and his ball cap was purple. And you could really tell then that the shirt was really blue. It wasn't purple. But it was amazing how quick I knew what my eyes were telling me, but I suddenly began to doubt when somebody else wasn't sure. Isn't that amazing? You and I, maybe you've been saved a long time. I've been saved a long time, most of my life. We know what God said. We know what God's will is. We know it. Look, you may not know the specifics of day to day and what God has planned tomorrow, but you know the general will for your life, and you know it, and you know what he said, and then all of a sudden you're trying to live it in a world where nobody believes what you're saying. And suddenly you begin to question yourself. I had somebody tell me years ago, you'll go through a trial one day and you'll be curious whether or not God's even called you to preach. I'm like, no way. I was there when he called me. I was the one who answered the phone. Matter of fact, my mom had a receipt for my sister's dry cleaning bill from her graduation, and I took it out. They says, take a pen out and write down the day you surrender to preach. I wrote it down on the back of a dry cleaning bill. Not very, you know, not a very awesome story, but that's all the paper I had. And I was there. I remember that night in June, 1995, 15-year-old kid, never forget. And all of a sudden, you get in a case where a lot of other folks aren't believing, and you start questioning everything you know that God said. Can I tell you this morning, the resurrection is just as real today as it was then. The resurrection is a great reminder to us that we've got to remember that God had it all figured out, even when people didn't believe. God's plan is still true, and God's word still reigns. Folks, we're very frail, we're fragile. He knows our frame. We are but dust. And one of our greatest weaknesses as Christians is we forget. The disciples just saw this great miracle of bread and fishes, and they're on the boat getting back over to the other side, and now the storm begins to blow, and they're fearful. And what did he say? Why are you so fearful? They'd already forgotten what God did. They already forgot. I believe this morning the reason we're so perplexed, the reason we're so fearful, is we have forgotten. The resurrection of Christ is a beautiful example to all of us this morning. God knows what he's doing. God is still sovereign. You'd be amazed at how much of that anxiety we go out the window, how much of that fear we go out the door. If we just did what he said in verse number 6, remember how he spake. You know, there's a reason Joshua and Caleb got to see the promised land when nobody else did. If you want to go by majorities, Joshua and Caleb were not in the majority. They were in the minority. There were just two of them and 10 of those. And yet the 10 would die wandering in the wilderness. And Joshua and Caleb would find theirs. Do you know why Joshua and Caleb would end up seeing the goodness of God, the blessings of God, and the promise of God? Here it is. They remember how he spake. Remember what God said. Now, here's what I wonder this morning. Here it is Easter Sunday. Everybody's a little sleepy. I got up early to eat all that candy and see all the goodies that we had there. Could it be this morning that there's some perplexed places in your heart and mind? Could it be there's some question marks that you've got your arms loaded with the spices to go to the tomb and you know what your plan is for life and you're looking, you're thinking, wait a minute, this is not working out the way that I thought it would work out. And now you begin to get perplexed. Could I just encourage you, God still knows what he's doing. You're perplexed, but he's not. And your perplexedness goes on for so long, the next thing you know, now you're worried and now you're fearing. Now you're like, I can't trust you with this. I've got to take matters into my own hands. Oh, that's when we get in trouble. Don't do that. Just have faith and trust God. He knows what he's doing. Don't flinch. Nobody else believes. The promises are still available for you. They may look at you and think, boy, he's just speaking idle tales. There's no, oh, look, you just keep believing what God said, because can I tell you, the tomb is still empty. God's plan happened just like he said. And if we'll trust him, oh, this morning, the resurrection of Christ can bring great peace to our life. Let's have our heads bowed and eyes closed for a few minutes this morning. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Brother Zach's going to come. We're going to have an invitation before we dismiss this part of our